So you know, it's obvious we're going to do something special to commemorate this. We do this the first Sunday of every January. My schedule is every other month on the first Sunday of that every other month starting in January. Interesting, though, I talked to a couple this morning that is in our midst who were at the gym at midnight last night. That's a good start to a new year, right? Probably some of us were up filling our faces with something instead of going to the gym. I was in bed by before 10 o'clock because it's Sunday and I have to get up early and be ready and prayed up and all that. But we're going to do something in one of the most formal ways that we do things here. And even I can speak for our denomination. If you're not a Free Methodist, you don't know this, but we're not very liturgical. You may not even know that word. That just means a set order of doing things in the same way. It's a liturgy. We're not a liturgical church. We don't have a lot of direction. We don't have a lot of heavy weight from above, by the way. We're not like that. We're definitely a connectional church, but we have great relationship within that connection as far as I'm concerned, and not a lot of pressure to conform to a certain thing in a certain way. But we do have this old liturgy of communion that we don't often celebrate. I've been using one of the newer ones, and communion isn't something that we should only reserve for this time when we come together as a church. I know we have a Bible study, maybe more than one that serves communion from time to time. But I wanted to take advantage of this new year and this New Year's Day to go back to some basics about communion. So you know me, I like to offer it in celebration and in joy and remembering some of the elements of what Jesus did in dying for us on the cross, bringing us peace and making it possible for us to be gifted and serving him in his kingdom. But Jesus himself said something very specific about this event that we need to have in the back of our minds always, but bring to the forefront sometimes. And I think there's a broad application of that. Communion is an interesting thing in that we share it as a group of people, but what we do is very individual. It's between God and you. And so just right off the top of this, you don't have to be a member of our church to take communion like some churches require. You don't have to be full-blown into what we believe, and probably if you're like that, you don't know for sure all the things we believe. And I will be offering a membership class here in the new year pretty soon for anybody who's interested in finding out about that. But it is a requirement that you know Jesus as your Savior. And it could be that you are in this room or watching online and you can't say that you have that relationship with Jesus, but I always like to say that in the service of communion we have, there is the means for you to do that. To do what is necessary to become a Christian, which is know you're a sinner and admit that sin, and receive that he substituted his death for yours on the cross, and he makes you whole again, and then you start following him. So what I'm going to do, I envision a really kind of short, you know how that is with me, a short devotion before we do this. I want to uncover these. This is actually part of the liturgy that we do. I remember when I was instructed, we were supposed to, at a certain time, uncover the elements, and at a certain time, cover them back up again. Oops, I'm just going to touch these. These are the gluten-free ones, by the way, if you need that. And I'm going to ask as we clean up at the end that you leave this up. Diana's here. No kids today, so she'll be able to take communion. I was going to have that up so she could come out and take it. So I want to call us back, and then Pastor Mike's going to come when I'm done, and he's going to join me, and we're going to do the long liturgy, the old Free Methodist communion liturgy that has been nearly unchanged for a long, long time, formed in 1860. That's when our denomination started. So I want to call you to the passage that actually our liturgy uses, and that is from 1 Corinthians. Chapter 11 is what's quoted when we get to that part. And I'm just going to walk you through the separate portions of this and encourage you to take a specific journey this morning, heading into a new year, living in the world we live in, struggling as human beings as we do in this world, where everything is not seen that we want it to be seen and isn't as plain, perhaps, as we hoped. And we are influenced and affected. We are not above it. The world puts a pressure on us, and sometimes we are affected and change to that pressure. This is an opportunity to go back to what Jesus called you to do. So whatever 2022 did to you, let's put it that way, because sometimes we just feel like, you know, we're the victim. And I don't often entertain that, but it's okay to do that sometimes and say things did happen to me, and we may have made choices accordingly. Whatever happened can always come to this table and be cleansed. And we start over fresh. Actually, that's a daily thing. For me, it's more than once a day that I come and say, when I realize that maybe I've thought something that God didn't want me to think. Anyway, I'm getting too far into that. So we're gonna read through this passage, and I just have three things. If you have a handout, you see it's only one side. It's really short today. And there's a line at the bottom, and I encourage you to be thinking about that during our time together, but also in a prolonged, if you haven't already done this, over the course of the next few days in preparation for what this year may hold for all of us. Number one, if you have a handout, the blank is remember. We're called to remember. That's what Jesus said is the very base. We're called to remember in this observance of communion. When we take juice and we take bread and we remember. That's what he called us to do in this passage that Paul is telling the Corinthian church about. The interesting thing is Paul wasn't there. He wasn't there at the first communion. He wasn't there. He was called later on by Jesus in a vision, but the words in 1 Corinthians are in red. Jesus spoke to Paul as well as to the disciples. So he reminds this church in Corinth, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.'" Paul used the word remembrance twice in recounting what the Lord reminded him about this observance called communion, that we call communion. And what is it we remember? Interestingly, the first disciples were called to remember something that hadn't happened yet. It was the Lord's death. They still didn't know what was going on when they took this first communion. But oh, how poignant it became to them in just some hours' time when Jesus endured what he did, later being arrested just a little after this, and after his prayer in the garden and then death on the cross. I imagine they had such an eagerness to remember, especially in the interval between his death and his ascension, after he rose and walked with them for 40 days before he was raised up into heaven, and it just had meaning. We're called to remember. And so at the beginning of a year, we're called to remember not our life, not review our year. I used to love watching all the TV shows about that this year and that year and, you know, like that, but this communion is to remember him. We need to remember that Jesus gave his life for us. The second thing is, as we continue in the passage, we are called to reverence. 1 Corinthians 11:27. He continues, "So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord." Well, this is more vague, actually. Verse 29, which we'll read in a minute in its context, says, "For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ." So this is this concept that there is a reverence for what is going on here. So remember, the people who heard this from Paul were steeped in sin. Even though they were followers of Jesus, they had been influenced by other things, and they were doing all sorts of things, all kinds of wrong. And so some of the force of that which Paul communicated to them, and then of which we read, is not to be taken in the same way that Paul intended for them to take it. They needed some wholesale change. You read the first few chapters of the book of 1 Corinthians, you'll see how bad these people had strayed from the love of God. But he said here, you're sinning against the body and blood. Well, that's a dishonoring. It's the body. It's Jesus. These people knew the message that Jesus died on the cross for them, just like every believer knows that message. And if you're not a believer, you hear this message and you can become a believer by believing it. I mean, that's really how it happens. He called them out of that sinful practice of whatever they were doing, and we're not going to comment on that. You can read it for yourself. To reverence. I never like to do this flippantly. I have been in churches that celebrated this every Sunday, and it just seemed to be like, I don't know, no meaning at all. There's deep meaning in what's going on here, as Jesus gave himself for us, this awe and honor of who he was and what he has done. So we're called to remember, we're called to reverence, and the last thing this morning is we're called to reflection. Here's the value in repeating, and especially something you become familiar with. So if you're an old-time Free Methodist, you know this ritual. These words, they're nearly second nature to you. I've updated a couple of the phrases because they're hard for me to say. But it's familiar. But if you just do something that's familiar, there's comfort, and that's good. And you know, that's one of the values of having some liturgy in your life. But there's more to it. There's a change. And we're called to a reflection on that change as Paul finishes his thought here to them. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread and drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have died, have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Now, that's pretty powerful, right? You may have some questions about, wait a minute, if I don't come up here in some perfect way, then I'm going to be judged and I might die. Keep in mind that the Corinthian church got to such a terrible point because of stacks of sin, gross sin. I don't mean it's gross, but it's gross. That means it's a lot of it. Both of those things were applicable. Paul is not telling us that if we approach and we're not perfect, that we're going to get sick and die. But he is warning. He's warning them, or calling them to account for a whole way that they neglected who God really was in Christ. But he warns us not to begin to lose this awe and remembering of who Jesus was, and so get to the point, because that's what happens. It builds up in us, and when we begin to err and fall away and intentionally sin, we can get to the place where they were. Because sin affects the physical body. It really does. And it is a terrible thing, sin is. He's saying and reminding us that in the reverence of him, he came to remove the sin. And so just to continue to practice it is a dishonoring of what he came to do. And so this concept of reflection and examining yourself before you come and partake. So that is what this service is for. It is designed to give us a little mini time of reflection together, because we take it together, but it's that personal reflection. So I just want to walk through you through this process before Pastor Mike comes and joins me. And we lead through this. So as I said, there's lines at the end, and no doubt you don't have a lot of time to think about things that need to be corrected, and hence that line, my correction, but it's something for you to take home. But it's certainly something for you to ask him here today. Lord, reveal yourself. So we start with an invitation, and a leader does that, a pastor leader does that, and it is an invitation to draw near to confess. And after that, there is going to be silence for one whole minute, and it will seem like an eternity. It's so short a time, but I encourage you in that minute of silence that you make this personal and you come before him in remembering and reflecting and in reverence. We are here to confess. That's what we're here to do before we can properly remember. And then we move into a section of surrender, and there's four different elements in this surrender that we participate in together. They're all done in unison. Pastor Mike and I will lead alternately through these. There's the general confession, which just says, I'm a person who needs cleansing. And that's an initial cleansing if you've never come to Christ in the first place, or the continual cleansing. We're called to confess our sins. And guess what? He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a promise. Am I eligible for that? Do I need that? Every day we need it. So that's that general confession. Then the Lord's Prayer follows, and that is really a confession of God's authority to do something about our sin and inviting him to bring heaven to us as it already is in fullness there. And then there's an affirmation of faith. It's a cry for mercy coupled with a declaration that we have faith that his mercy will cleanse our sins when we come to him. He doesn't make it hard. He doesn't make us jump through hoops. He just says, come and confess. And then we have the prayer for inner cleansing. And that's what it says. It's a prayer. And again, I want you to engage personally the words that we're going to say collectively in order for that meaning to come through. So we have the invitation. We have this element of surrender with four different parts to it. Then we have a praise part. And there are three different parts of that. There's the song of God's holiness, and that's led by one of us. And then the unison response to that, and then a song of God's glory that is said in unison as well. So much of this is in unison. So we don't come to him as the authoritarian ruler that speaks and says to us, don't speak unless you're spoken to. We come to him with his open arms saying, communicate with me and be honest with me and come to me. I'm for you, as we sang. He is for us. He is for us. Oh, Jesus, how can it be? He's for me. He's for us. And then there's a declaration of oneness, which really is the title is the prayer of spiritual communion. So communing together is a relationship word, and we come together and have communion with him. Communion isn't the representative of his blood in the juice and in his body, the bread. It is in the vertical communion between he and I. This is not a horizontal one, though we do it horizontally together. It's a vertical between he and us. And we pray. We say, we want this communion. We want to be one with you. And then there's the prayer of the consecration of the elements, which is a pastoral declaration that has two parts, including the scripture we just read, part of that, as well as the original story, and saying that these elements are different than having bread and butter and a glass of grape juice at home. This is different. There's mystery in these moments. I love that unexplainable truth that when we say yes to this, God comes in a mysterious way through this. He doesn't change the elements. They don't become, like some believe, the actual body and blood of Jesus. They represent that to him, but there's something different than other. That's one of the calls that Paul had in the Corinthian church. They came together fighting and hungry and grabbing and doing it at their own, you know, instead of realizing this is a holy moment. And then there's the participation. Well, we come forward, and I'll invite you to come on two sides. Pastor Mike will be on one side, and I'll be on the other. And you'll take your elements and return to your seat. And we will take those together, and then there will be a benediction, which just means it's kind of a closing prayer, a blessing. And then the praise team's going to come up and sing the doxology that we do here, which I didn't know till recently was written by Dan and Karen, so that's kind of cool. I didn't know that. So I call you and I call myself to this first day of the new year of 2023 to remember, to reverence, and to have reflection. Let's pray. Lord, this is beyond me, beyond us. And as every aspect of our relationship, it carries this simple call of you to us to come, and your promise to do all else that needs doing. I pray, Lord, you would help us move into this moment in seriousness, Lord, but great joy, because what we remember is past, but the benefits are now and in the future forever. So lead us, I pray, by your Spirit, that we might truly commune with you, be cleansed, and be filled with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
The invitation. You who are truly and earnestly repented of your sins, who live in love and peace with your neighbors, and who intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God and walking in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, humbly seeking and making your honest confession to Almighty God.
Now observe some silent time with God right now. Join me in the general confession. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we confess that we have sinned and we are deeply grieved as we remember the disobedience of our past lives. We have sinned against you, your holiness, and your love, and we deserve only your indignation and anger. We sincerely repent, and we are genuinely sorry for all wrongdoing and every failure to do the things we should. Our hearts are grieved, and we acknowledge that we are hopeless without your grace. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us, cleanse us, give us strength to serve and please you in newness of life and to honor and praise your name through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us affirm our faith together. O Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who with great mercy has promised forgiveness to all who turn to you with hearty repentance and true faith, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from our sins. Make us strong and faithful in all goodness and bring us to everlasting life through Christ our Lord.
The prayer for inner cleansing. Almighty God, whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Join me in the song of God's holiness with no accompaniment, just our words together. It is always right and proper and our moral duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the inhabitants of heaven, we honor and adore your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
our response, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory be to you, O Lord, Most High. Amen.
And we continue with the song of God's glory together. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
The prayer for spiritual communion. We do not come to this, your table, O merciful Lord, with self-confidence and pride, trusting in our own righteousness, but we trust in your great and many mercies. We are not worthy to gather the crumbs from your table, but you, O Lord, are unchanging in your mercy, and your name, nature, is love. Grant us, therefore, God of mercy, God of grace, so eat at this table that we may receive in spirit and in body of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and the merits of his shed blood, so that we may live and grow in his likeness, and being washed and cleansed through his most precious blood, we may evermore live in him and he in us. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who gave in love your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who by his sacrifice offered once for all did provide a full, perfect, and sufficient atonement for the sins of the whole world. We come now to your table in obedience to your Son, Jesus Christ, who in his holy gospel commanded us to continue to remember his precious death until he comes again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we humbly ask and grant that we, receiving this bread and this cup, as he commanded, and in the memory of his passion and death, may partake of his most blessed body and blood.
On the night of his betrayal, Jesus took the bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In like manner, after supper, he took the cup and he gave thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
You would come, form two lines, come up and take your cup and bread. Again, the gluten-free is there.
And if you're not able, I will come to you and deliver.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, preserve your soul and body unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed upon him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. And the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, preserve your soul and body unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful.
May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keeping your hearts and minds in knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit be yours now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
last week,